We want to build a community and share other women's stories.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Tea with TE podcast. Today I have Oli Ikechi Diamako with me. Oli is a partner from the Strategy and Transactions Department at EYP. And today we're talking about leading with impact, which is something that is particularly of interest to Oli, and she has some very interesting ideas to share around this. So I'm really looking forward to the discussion. And Oli, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And just so people know who you are, obviously we do, but everybody else doesn't as much. So if you wouldn't mind, if we could start with just some brief introductions and particularly a bit of an overview on your career to date.
Oh God, I never know how far back to go with this question. But yeah, sure. So I am, most people call me Oli. My full name is Oli Ikechi Diamako. I have been in the consulting industry my entire career. So started off at Accenture as a fresh graduate. And I think really quickly, fast forwards, just over 10 years, I made partner with Accenture. And then a couple of years after that, a few years after that, I joined Ernst & Young, so EYP Parthenon, whereby I focus on strategy and transactions, so helping clients in the financial services space with their biggest complex transformation programs, their biggest strategic initiatives from a business perspective, and then also mergers and acquisitions. And it's what I've done my entire career, also when I was with Accenture. So definitely comfortable in that space. I think another bit about me, just from a work perspective, is I do like to push boundaries. So most people who know me will know me as somebody who is opinionated, but not opinionated and, you know, hopefully not the horrible person that you don't want to work with, but actually opinionated in hopefully an interesting way. So yeah, that's definitely a big part of my character. And I think I'm going to leave it there. I feel like there's a lot more to say about who I am, but I think I'll leave it there and I'll I'll let you tease your audience a little bit with
of some course. And I'm sure some more will come out along the way. And I just touched upon it in terms of the intro there and impact leadership. And I know that that is something that you're very passionate about. What does that mean to you, thinking about impact and leadership?
Yeah, it's definitely passionate to me, for sure. And I've tried to kind of gather my thinking. I'm a real thinker, which is why I guess I do strategy.
Yes.
So I like to kind of think about things, and then I like to, like a good consultant, I guess I'm in the right industry. Yes. I like to pull together frameworks and think about how to actually solve those problems that I might be thinking through. And I think for me, being led with impact and supporting other people on their journey in their careers and having some level of impact on the people around me, whether it's my clients, my colleagues, my communities, has been something that I've been quite focused on, for sure for the last probably seven plus years. Certainly once I made partner, even more. And I used to have a way of defining that. And, largely I would talk about being driven by impact and focused on things like inclusion and also innovation. Mm-hmm. And I think as time has gone on, and certainly over the last, probably 2 years, and certainly the last 12 months, I've gone through more experiences myself, I've seen more experiences myself, I'm running a whole bunch of new initiatives for clients where I'm talking to the most senior people, of the biggest organizations, and I'm talking to them, the CEO and their leadership team. And we're talking about how to have impact. Ultimately, that's what we're talking about. And that's going to then trickle through to the rest of the organization and the ramifications of what you can do if you lead with impact are huge. So for me, it's I'm connecting all these dots together in terms of, I'm very valued driven. And as I said, 7 years ago, I started thinking about, okay, what's the legacy I want to leave? What's mm-hmm. Why am I wired the way I am? What's mm-hmm. the purpose I have, etc. I came up with this notion of I'm driven by having impact.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that, which again, we may uncover. And as I said, you know, over the last couple of years and certainly 12 months, I think it's crystallized in my mind, this term impact leadership that I promote. And I'm a big champion of this, you know, and I'm getting people to talk more and more about this. But for me, impact leadership is acknowledging that leadership ultimately is not a noun. Mm. It's not a thing that you earn because your title says leader, or mm-hmm. because your title starts with a C, or because your title says head of. It's something that you're actively doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we're given the badge of honor to be a leader, it's something, you know, it's something of importance. But actually, I think if you take away that badge of honor, if you take mm-hmm. away my role title, what am I doing? Who am I? What am I actually doing? And if I'm not leading with impact, then I just have a role title.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, leadership is not enough, right? To be a leader, that's not enough. The bar is here, I feel. The bar is very low in a lot of firms, in a lot of organizations, because we accept a low bar, you know, for a number of different reasons. And I think there are some standout leaders in across lots of different organizations, but probably we need to be pushing everybody to get to that bar
mm-hmm.
so that when you are in that position of leadership, right, whether you know, regardless of your role title, but when you're in that position, you have some sort of framework to base your leadership off of. You know, how do we know that you're successful? How will you know that you're successful? I think we've talked a lot about kind of management,
mm-hmm.
right? And what it means to be, you know, everyone's heard of something or another around management versus leadership. You know, good leaders don't manage, right? Managers just orchestrate and they just make things happen, but they don't lead. But we don't actually hold leadership in the same spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
We just accept that you're a leader. Zilch. I don't need to say anything. I don't need to, you know, I don't need to maybe challenge you. I don't need to put my hand up and maybe suggest a new way of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, leadership has become enough. But actually, for me, leadership is the most powerful thing an organization mm-hmm. has if they lead with impact.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I crystallize that now into a new definition of three B's. So for me, the first part of impact leadership is your ability to have equitable or give equitable value. So for me, that is anything you do, anything I touch, I want to be adding value, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm on this podcast. Do I think I can add value? Probably. That's why I'm doing it. I work with my clients. I work with colleagues. I work with people who report into me, people who I report into, and so on. Anything I touch in my working life and mm-hmm. also in my personal life, I want to try and add value to somebody. Yep. A client, a colleague, a person, whoever, even if it's just one person, that ripple effect is enough for it to spread through others.
Mm-hmm.
But the equitable bit is super important. The equitable value is important, of course, right? But the equitable bit is even more important because that tells me that if I have a team, for example,
mm-hmm.
I want to deliver value to that team.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I want to motivate them, inspire them, upskill them, whatever the value is. I want to succeed on the project and they're going to get congratulations on
mm-hmm.
the back of it, whatever the value is. But I want to also do it in an equitable way. So I want to acknowledge that I have differences in my team. I want to acknowledge and include people. And I can only include people if I acknowledge that I have Sarah, Bob, Anil, Tunde, whoever mm-hmm. is on my team, and they all may have different starting positions,
mm-hmm.
they all may have different experiences, and they all therefore will require a different way of engagement, a different way of interacting, a different way of bringing them in, you know, whatever the story is. But I mm-hmm. need to be able to deliver equitable value to the people that I'm working with, whether it's my team members, whether it's my clients. You know, I could have the exact same exam question from two different clients who say, hey, I need some help on Gen AI. Tell me how to do it. But actually, doing a copy paste job and copying the report that I'm going to give to one client and doing, you know, doing a few amends isn't really helping, right?
No.
The equitable bit comes in really understanding the depth of each person in your, you know, each person that you're serving, right? Each person in your mm-hmm. in your audience, whether that's a different the different clients in this example. So the equitable bit for me mm-hmm. is the real importance. So that's number one.
Yeah,
I'll try and hurry this up. This is good. Okay, fine. So the second point of for me in terms of impact leadership is emotional maturity. Emotional maturity is all the emotions that you can think of. And I think when I hear also one thing that you do tend to hear when it comes to leadership is these are the 10 traits of a good leader. These are the 12 traits of a good leader. These are the three things a good leader should have.
Mm-hmm.
But again, my point is, where is the framework to hold mm-hmm. all leaders to account, right? And a lot of the time when we think about good leadership, we think about authenticity, the ability to be vulnerable. And that's what I'm talking about with emotional maturity.
Yeah.
And I think it's different to emotional intelligence, which is the ability to understand, mm-hmm. right? I'm intelligent. I can understand A is A and B is B and 1 + 1 = 2 and all mm-hmm. the other all the other more complex permutations, right? The maturity is the ability to understand, is the ability to take that intelligence and do something with it, right? And not just have ones and zeros, mm-hmm. ultimately. And not just be intelligent by knowledge, but be intelligent yeah. by application. That's the maturity, the ability to listen to somebody speaking about their experience and sense that actually they're not giving you everything because they don't feel comfortable, and maybe leaning in a bit mm-hmm. to make them feel comfortable, right? So that phrase, the phrase that many people have used in the last couple of years, you know, I want to be my whole self. I want to bring my whole mm-hmm. self to work. I want to, you know, get comfortable being uncomfortable. They can only get comfortable being uncomfortable if we allow if the environment allows them to get uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bit that I'm talking about. It's the bit of knowledge, right? Intelligence, and translating that into actual action, right? Emotion is energy, E-hyphen, mm-hmm. Emotion, right? Emotion is not just a static word that we do nothing about. Emotion is the ability, you know, I mean, anything to hate, to love, to be curious, mm-hmm. to, you know, to wonder. It's something in motion. It's the ability mm-hmm. to do something. And that's the bit that I think is missing in terms of the intelligence. It's not just about the knowledge. It's how do I apply that? How do I lean in? How mm-hmm. do I lean to the side? Hey, how do I go behind the scenes if it makes that person comfortable? And they don't need to know that I'm involved in doing something that might make them cringe, but actually I'm going to work my ass off behind the scene to support that person, right? And to sponsor that person and to advocate for that person. All of those things for me are the emotional maturity mm-hmm. piece. And then the last thing for me is the last E is the ethical compass, right? So the ability to do the right thing. And it sounds so, you know, I made a post recently about culture of an organization. I mean, I would have snoozed at that post. Like, you know, I think it was interesting for sure. But the topic of ethics and culture, I would have snoozed at, like, you know, 10 years ago. For sure, when I started my career, would have snoozed at. And I remember talking about my business studies teacher who, you know, said the definition, I always remember her definition of culture, which is the way we do things around here. And, you know, part of the makeup of an organization, I mean, the huge part of the makeup of an organization is their culture, right? So the ability to not necessarily succumb to the mm-hmm. culture that you sit in and rise above that and do the mm-hmm. right thing is something that I think many of us battle with. Because maybe the corporate culture doesn't warrant collaboration. It doesn't warrant the best types of or the best forms of collaboration. It doesn't warrant the best speak up culture. It doesn't warrant the best check and challenge culture, even though we might say it does, right? So your ability to kind of navigate through all of that, all of those kind of headwinds, right? All of those issues, and say, let's do the right thing, right? We all have this thing called gut instinct. Yes. We know what is right from wrong. Even my, 18-month-old will know what is right from wrong. Whether or not she can actually, do something about it is a different thing, right? Mm-hmm. But we all have that ability to understand right from wrong. And I think that piece of ethics is hugely important. It could be the detriment to an organization. And that's also what I talked about in this post. You know, if you think about a lot of companies who have not survived, corporate extinction is a reality. Mm-hmm. I'm talking big companies who have not survived based on corporate culture. If you unwind and unravel the whys and the hows and the whens, it comes down to somebody doing something that they weren't meant to be doing, and then a group of people doing things that they weren't meant to be doing, right? And that doesn't even need to be anything seedy. That could just be cutting corners a little bit. You cut corners a little bit, you then normalize deviance.
Everybody doing
normalize,
it, right? Yeah,
let's just cut corners all the way around. It could also just be excluding people in a different way, and then you cut off part of your blood supply. You cut off your creativity, your innovation, and guess what? You can no longer survive things like COVID. We've all seen casualties of that. So the ability to just be able to cut through corporate culture and be focused on doing the right thing is something that is really underrated, but it's one of the most powerful weapons an organization has. So for me, impact leadership is the thing that I think really is going to set apart organizations and leaders and influencers in today's world. Because remember, influencers don't need to have a title. They are just doing things. They are impacting already, whether
it's
they're
so
12,
true.
Whether they're 10, whether they're 15, whatever it is, no one cares, right? What we care about is your ability to gather people and follow you because you are delivering a valuable service. And I think we have to be doing that in our corporate leadership as well. So impact leadership, the ability to have real impact on real people's lives and add value. And you do that by delivering equitable value, being emotionally mature, and then also having the right ethical compass.
Yeah. And do you think, so you touched upon it there as well, like obviously the difference of management versus leadership, and it is different. And I do think the ability to have impact as a leader comes from the person, but like you say, also comes from the organization, from the culture that you're building, comes from many different things. But like you said, I think a lot of people probably don't have the tools or the knowledge to know how to do that. I think sometimes as well, it's kind of time versus money scenario, right? People are, well, I'm your manager, so I'll just get things done, but I won't lead you. And you put your best people into management roles, but they're not necessarily naturally born leaders. And so how can you then help them to go along the lines of the principles that you've just talked about to actually become useful to their team and to actually be more inspirational? Because I think there's a real fine line, and I think there's not, the thing is, there's probably not many people that know how to do it well that can actually understand the difference between the two. I think it's hard, isn't it? I think to actually pinpoint
it
that.
Is. Yeah, no, it is. You know, we are talking about a utopia world where we set a higher bar as organizations, as employees, as people who are part of an organization, as leaders ourselves. We have to set the bar higher, because if we don't, and if we say, hey, it's just too hard to get there, then we've just normalized bad behavior. Right, which is doing nothing. Doing nothing isn't an option, because the world is advancing, right? How we interact with each other, the things that we value, has changed. We have been forced to change and to reevaluate what we value. And this all is a topic of value, right? Impact leadership is the impact, the positive impact that you can have on someone. So
yeah.
I definitely appreciate that it's almost this like utopian stage of this is where we want to get to, but we mm-hmm. have to have that if we can even achieve 50% of it, right, of the goal, first and foremost. Secondly, I have literally had this conversation with a whole, you know, like probably like 300 plus people, okay. or probably even that's only in the last 3 months. So wow. probably, you know, 1,000 different people I've been mm-hmm. speaking to, senior people, senior leaders on this topic for the last mm. year in organized sessions. And it's definitely something that we all need to upskill in, right?
Yes.
Even me on many different, you know, each one of those three can drill down into many different aspects.
Yeah.
Right. So there's definitely areas where we all need to upskill in. And I think for me, it's making sure there will be a level of weed out, right? Mm-hmm. There will be a level of people who are just going to resist change and just mm-hmm. going to want to lead in the ways that they've been doing before, which are not constructive for a business, which are not leading by value and mm-hmm. not leading by the right ethics and doing the right thing. And they're certainly not leading by being, you know, emotionally mature and available with all the people around mm-hmm. them. So those group of people, I think that there's an easy solution for. The people who are in, you know, there's always a bit of a quadrant, right? So the top right or bottom right, whichever way you want to look at it, I think there's an easy solution for. Opposite to that are the people who understand the concept and really want to do something about it. And they're mm-hmm. the ones I think that you can easily solve for, as well as the other two quadrants, the people who...
Yeah.
A little bit of both, and or you know, a little bit on the fence in terms of we know we need to do this, but there's a little bit of heart. It's a little bit hard. There's a little bit of skepticism, etc., etc. And they basically end up wanting to do stuff, but then they succumb down back to cultural industry, cultural corporate norms,
yeah,
which then make it hard for them to do the right thing because actually it's quicker to just do it myself, right? It's quicker to just not give you feedback and not yeah. lead properly and just do it myself. Or it's quicker to not bring all of these different people in to get their opinions and actually have creativity mm-hmm. and diversity of thinking because I want to hit that deadline. Right. So I think that the three groups, I think there's one group that's easy to solve for.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other three groups require some level of, you know, coaching, some level of, you know, interaction of training on these topics on a constant basis
mm-hmm.
up until a point where it's embedded into the organization, and it has to be embedded into the organization by senior leadership. And the people I've been talking to over the last year, it's all driven by senior leaders. So there are yeah. organizations and firms and leaders who really understand this concept. They understand the importance of all the things that we've just been discussing and are doing things within their organization to make changes. Are they going to see changes immediately? No, but are they on the right path? Yes. So, you know, I agree that it's going to be hard to implement, but that's not the excuse for anyone not to raise the bar in leadership, because if we're not raising the bar, mm-hmm. it's the minimum requirement.
Yeah.
Minimum requirement for any organization to compete now, impact leadership.
Yeah. And like you say, it does have such huge impact, I think is the best word, on things like your culture, your overall dynamics as a business, how you're functioning, your alignment, like are your leadership team aligned and appreciate the same values as you do? And I think if you have got that, naturally there is better opportunity for success. I think that's one of the key. It's like being in a relationship and not being aligned on your values. It just doesn't make sense. It's not going to work. And so it's just the
Absolutely.
thinking, yeah, the thinking behind it to actually make sure that your leadership team are obviously driving those principles throughout. But I think all well and good saying it, I think in practice we've all seen it not necessarily put to work in the right way. I'd love to yeah. understand your inspiration behind this? Because obviously it's something that you're very passionate about, and I know kind of throughout your life there's been various different influences. Do you mind just sharing a bit about where that's come from?
Yeah, sure. I think it started, as I said, a number of years ago, maybe 8 years ago. But I guess the trigger initially was when I started, was in 2013. So my father had passed away suddenly as well. And it got me thinking about many things. But I always will remember, being back in the family home in Wimbledon, and having lots of people come to the home and speak about my dad. And it's a Nigerian community, and people are there singing, they're there praying, they're there sharing stories. You know, before storytelling was like this big concept of something that you did.
So I was hearing all of these stories about my dad, and it set the wheels in motion for me to start thinking about the legacy that I wanted to have and what that was going to be like. And for me, it was the first time I'd actually started to think about that question, what's the legacy that I'm going to have on other people? And it certainly wasn't in an egotistical way. It was much more of a, here is this man who has done so many things for his community and so many things that I was unaware of, and how do I match that? How can I match that? What the hell am I doing, right, in life? What am I doing with work? I'm doing all these amazing programs, these strategic programs, but what does it mean? What's the value? And that's when I started to ponder that topic back in 2013. What's the value? And then I think as I became more senior, and certainly when I made partner, it made me ponder that question even more.
Yeah.
And for sure, I was never the person, never, who would go to the female networks or the Black and Afro-Caribbean networks. That just wasn't me. I wasn't, this wasn't my vibe at all. I didn't feel that I needed to go, based on how I was brought up in terms of go. So I didn't really gravitate towards that. And then I started gravitating towards that when I went to my very first African and Caribbean network society at Accenture. And I started to hear all these people talk about their experiences, their lived experiences. And these were people who were my peers, who were more senior to me and also more junior to me. But I started to think that, oh my God, these are real adults sharing their experiences. And some of their experiences and how they see themselves and how they see themselves in comparison to other people is almost like how I was thinking when I was a teenager. But here is this grown person who is still having this level of maybe inferiority complex. No judgment, that's absolutely their experience, but it saddened me and it made me want to do something. So I think I started really, getting much more active in the DEI space, which I think really helped open up the avenue of impact leadership. Because, when you are passionate and actively doing things in the DEI space, you tend to have an ability to empathize.
Yeah.
And you didn't start that way, you probably will end up empathizing because you hear more stories, but also you kind of try to set a bar. It's not just about hearing stories, it's also about giving constructive feedback.
Thanks, Ollie. And I think just as we conclude, what final message or advice would you take away or leave with your audience regarding kind of creating impact and really being that true impactful leader in today's world?
Absolutely. So I think it starts with asking the question, what is it that I could do differently? What is it that I could do better? What is it that I should stop doing? And then following that through with why, right? So there needs to be a level of getting to know yourself, right? Being honest with yourself in terms of your leadership styles, your leadership capability, what works well, the feedback that you get from your teams, including that you don't get feedback, right? That's feedback in itself. What does that tell you? So I think the ability to get a little bit intimate and personal with yourself, what is a legacy I want to leave and why? You know, what am I driven by and why? All of these are really tough questions that I guarantee you, if you have never thought of those questions before, you will struggle to think of them in 5 minutes. You need to sit down and clear a bit of time and really create this. This is a brand persona play, right? This is the type of leader that I want to be, and sticking with it. So you can do mergers and acquisitions. You can be in finance. You can be in HR. You can be in whichever lane you are in, but you are still Terry and I am still Ollie. But you need to pick a lane and you, in terms of how you lead and define that, right? And in terms of being an impact leader, I think the two questions I said, so you start with what and then why, are important, and getting to know yourself intimately so that you can understand. You know, you asked me the question, what was the trigger? And I went all the way back to 2013. It probably goes beyond that, right? Before that. So I think that's important. I think the second thing is then using the framework that I laid out earlier in terms of practical things you can do tomorrow, right? You can practically try to lead by including more people and by having an element of equity. It's not just including them all to sit at the table. It's understanding that Terry may need a brown cup and Bob may need a black cup. And so forth and so on, right? That's really a basic example, but that is what we mean by equity. It is about understanding that everyone may have a different starting position, a different journey, and we have to be mindful of that and include everyone anyway. The second thing is the emotional piece of being able to advocate for other people. And that means sharpening your storytelling. It means being open and authentic and vulnerable and allowing people to see that side of you so that they can connect with you. They can share more, because once you show that it's okay to share, they will be okay sharing. And that phrase we talked about earlier in terms of getting comfortable being uncomfortable becomes easier because you're allowing me, you're providing me the environment to get uncomfortable, right? I'm not going to be seen as an idiot if I start crying and actually telling you how I am, right? You know, that question, how are you? And we all give our best answers. Sometimes I'm not okay, but do I feel like okay to share that with you? Probably not. So enabling people to, you know, being able to lean in, lean sideways, lean backwards, whatever it is. And I think the third way is the you know, doing the right thing, being driven by the gut instinct of doing the right thing. If it doesn't feel right to exclude someone, don't do it, because it doesn't feel right. It's not right. Right. And the list goes on in terms of things that you shouldn't be doing, that you know you shouldn't be doing. So I think that's probably an easy framework that people can follow.
It's really helpful. Thank you so much. And we do have one last question always, because it's the Tea with TE podcast.
Oh,
how do you take your tea?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to tell me to spill the tea. I'm glad you're not telling me to spill the tea. That's probably for the next podcast. We can do that for a pull your audience in on a cliffhanger there. How do I take my tea? With no milk and sugar, because I do herbal tea. So I just keep my tea. I do green tea or oolong tea. I love my teas or peppermint tea. But I also hate it if people don't, like, if they do not, if, sorry, I also hate it when they take the tea bag out
too soon.
I need the tea bag in. So keep my tea bag in, and great. That's it.
I'm glad that we're on the same page with that.
Who told you to take it out? It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Leave it in. Yeah.
Ollie, thank you so much. And there's so much wisdom. And I think we really should catch up on another, because I know there's so much that you do as well around, like, you kind of just touched upon it there, those 3 years, but the branding piece, how that aligns with you. Person, so maybe that's a follow-up for us to
do. I feel like we've had a lot of stops and starts because of technology. Let's do a part two. Definitely
we should. But thank you so much. Enjoy your evening. I will speak to you soon.
Thanks so much. Bye.